Before we start the show, I just have a very important thing I want to say, if that's okay.
Dan quits.
I just think we should begin the show with some gratitude. I'd like to say a big thank you to the U.S. Department of Justice, without whose intervention efforts this show would not exist. I think it's only down to the DOJ that we are here to talk to you today. That rhymed,
and
I feel bad.
Without whom we would not exist.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. It's like a time travel thing there. Like the DOJ, like...
Probably.
You know, the DOJ got our parents together back at the Under the Enchantment Under the Sea dance, and from there on out, everything was smooth sailing.
Dan is, of course, referring to
Avengers Endgame. Lex went quiet, and I was like tossing the like a Back to the Future reference. I felt like was right in his court, and he just
Back to the Future reference. I didn't understand exactly what you were saying overall.
You're out of the loop, is what you're saying.
No, I'm up to date on all the Apple's legal shenanigans. I just wasn't sure how it related to our podcast existence.
Well,
I think
there
it was a joke that I was missing.
There would be no Apple, would not have gotten as popular as it did.
This is an Apple Watch podcast, as you recall. And there would be no Apple Watch without the iPhone. And there would be no iPhone without the iPod. And there would be no iPod without the Department of Justice.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you, DOJ. I appreciate that.
The show would certainly not be as popular as it is now. Or more popular?
With listeners or
advertisers. Yeah, right. I'm not sure. Be interesting experiment to look into other universes and see how we did.
I don't want to talk about other universe stuff.
I don't want to talk about it. I don't think I do either, honestly. Well, Foon, I would talk about Foon.
Big week. Where do you want to start?
I don't know.
The beginning.
I guess we mentioned the DOJ stuff and we talk about that. The Department of Justice suing Apple for antitrust violations. Did either of you guys read the 88-page PDF of Glory?
I did not read all of it. I did read the beginning, and I got as far as where they,
I read highlighted excerpts
heartily on the back for Apple's success since.
Then you hurled it across the room with great force.
1920. I meant 2000.
1920, a good year for Apple,
but same diff.
Yeah, I don't know. It's. Did you read the whole thing, Dan?
I did.
I'm so sorry.
Me too.
What were your key takeaways?
Really? Wow. Let me refer to
somebody pointed out that the one against Microsoft is only like 50 pages.
Yeah. Well,
we win.
I mean,
I don't think they clapped themselves on the back as much.
Well, what were they saying? Part. Because we were so great at breaking up Ma Bell, like Microsoft IBM. Wouldn't have existed.
I don't know. Yeah.
Key takeaways. It's funny. The first day when it came out, I was reading it. My kid was homesick, and so I was like, didn't get a chance till later in the day to read it. And
you should have read it aloud to him. He would have fallen asleep.
You know what? You're not the first person to make that joke.
I probably not.
And I was very like skeptical, and I was like posting snarky things about it. And then I only got about halfway through, and then I finished it the next morning. And weirdly enough, I feel like maybe sleeping on it, like in the second day, I felt more sympathetic. Maybe it's just I got deeper into it and like to the part where they were actually talking about, rather than getting the sort of hot take quotes and stuff, getting into the meat of the argument. And while I do think there are some problems with the argument, having read more about the context and stuff, I don't know. I mean, I feel sympathetic to what they're trying to do. I think they're in a bit of a bind here for a couple different reasons. One, this law is not designed for what they are using it
to
for.
To do with, in this particular case, for sure.
And again, I think other people have pointed this out too. Like, we're bad at passing laws now, especially laws regulating businesses, it feels like. And so we're using something that's, what, like 120, 150, probably like what, like late 1800s? To prosecute this, and it really just doesn't reflect the way markets work now. But we don't have, like, most other stuff sort of falls to the FTC, and there's not a lot of appetite for regulation right now either, from like administrative regulation, and I feel like maybe what they're doing doesn't rise to the level of what is currently illegal, because it's, again, as commentators point out, there's stuff that you do as business practices which is not illegal unless you are a monopoly. So you have to sort of start there, like establishing the monopoly. And
then they have to define the market. And
yeah, and that's tricky because that market, I'm not even sure we can define the market.
It's not a market the rest of us are familiar with. But
you know, and there is a point. So The Verge had a good article about this where they talked about one reason they're filing this in New Jersey is because of Lex. Lex is in favor. It's because there was a circuit court there that ruled favorably about a case involving, I think it's like dentures, in which they decided, like, they were able to define like a subset of the market successfully and win. And so they're using that as a precedent. And they were able to also define by revenue rather than by unit share, which are two big arguments they're making here.
Yeah.
So, and precedent is everything, right? In law, precedent is everything. So with that under their belt, I think they're just sort of setting up for what looks like the most favorable case for them.
As someone who's defended Apple's decision-making processes against the people who shouted that they need to chase market share by saying, why would they chase market share when they are already getting all of the profit in the smartphone business? Who cares about market share when you can make a lot of money by selling premium phones? I can't disagree that there is an argument to be made there that there is a subset of the market that is premium phones.
And the question is what they do with it too, right? Like, it's the leverage it gives them and the way they exercise that leverage that is potentially at play here. And looking at some of the examples given, and I think they've focused on things like private APIs and essentially like there's stuff Apple has access to that it's not giving access to its competitors. I mean, that's as a big picture argument, it's not a bad argument. You get into the weeds a bit when you start talking about things like cloud gaming and SMS and all this stuff. But
CarPlay.
Yeah. CarPlay. And you know, to the point, like it also depends
the great monopoly of CarPlay.
It depends what information they have, right? Like Jason, right.
Seem like there's new information from them about CarPlay, about why you see all these car companies who were annoyed at saying, hey, we're not going to support CarPlay anymore. If they're correctly characterizing Apple's perspective that, hey, by the way, from now on in the future, if you want to use CarPlay, you have to, you have to let support all of the screens in the car be powered by us.
Yeah, like that. And they're saying essentially we'll withhold it from you unless you do that. That is where stuff gets dicier. And so, and again, like legal stuff is weird, right? You have to make weird arguments. There's arcane points of law and stuff like this. And it turns out that a denture case from like, I don't know when it was from, like decades ago is relevant here. You know, they're trying to make the case they think they can win, which may not be the case that us looking as lay people looking at this are thinking like this doesn't make any sense. But like, yeah, I don't know. The big thing about this is it's going to take forever. Right. You remember the DOJ ebook thing? Like that was years. I covered that for like my whole tenure at Macworld, basically. So this is going to take a long, long time to shake out as they go back and forth. And, you know, whether I don't think Apple's in an appetite to, it does have an appetite to settle here, because I think that the threats to them are so large that they need to basically throw all their resources at it and try to like win. And then the other interesting point is like the stuff that we all ding them for on a regular basis, the App Store business, which they're getting, you know, hit for in Europe right now, is not really mentioned in here. And that's probably in large part because they won that case against Epic. And don't not say you can't try to make that case again, but again, precedent is everything. You lost.
I would say
The government did not win on that one, or like Epic did not win. Therefore, the government doesn't feel like, why relitigate that when we have better shots elsewhere?
It is interesting, you know. And I think it was probably Gruber who was making this point, but like typically when the government does things like this, they're trying to do things for the betterment of us, right? Like in theory, if the DOJ is doing battle with the companies because they think the company is abusing its monopoly in a way that's bad for consumers. And I think it's clear, I get that this is debatable. I think it's clear that some things Apple is doing aren't totally consumer friendly. But I feel like this case feels a little goofy, where some of the things that they perseverate on don't seem like the stuff that we need the DOJ to get involved in. Mm-hmm. And like if at the end of the day, what they, you know, if the result is Apple pays a fine, that doesn't change anything, right? If the result is they can get Apple to change certain specific behaviors, which ones would we want Apple to change? What are the ones we support?
Well,
we
need the rebound. Or the question is like, if the threat of this hurting Apple in the long term is great enough that Apple voluntarily changes things, because they, you know, one thing to keep in mind is like a framework exists for them to loosen some of these strictures based on things they've done in the EU. Like the major example being like the wallet stuff, right? Like that stuff they're already being forced to open up in the EU. That's a specific point. But if Apple starts thinking like, well, maybe it's better for us to implement some of the changes we made in the EU in the US to help avoid this, even if they're not necessarily things that are directly impacted by this lawsuit, then maybe that is a path. I'm not sure how likely it is, but
I doubt that they will do anything that they don't feel is directly
that is the big
affected by this lawsuit. I mean, yeah, I they don't seem to want to give up any control whatsoever. I mean, you know, I guess as a business, why would they want to? I mean, but well, I would say this is why. I mean, I do think there is a perception issue.
Sure.
And I think a lot of this is driven by a perception issue. I don't think you get attacked necessarily. There are obviously constituencies that for which Apple is rubbing the wrong way and who are talking to the government and trying to get them to do things like this. That is the way the sausage is made. So if you don't bully these people around, it's less likely that this is going to happen.
Yeah, I'm in favor of the government regulating businesses. You know, when you make billions upon billions of dollars a year, you know, somebody needs to weigh in, right? Like it to the point of you're big enough that the only thing that can stop you is government regulation, and there should be bounds on it. That's what it comes to. I think a lot of people who are arguing against this are like, free market capitalism solves everything. The market will sort itself out. Yeah. And the answer is no, that's fucking bullshit. That's not how it works.
Right. Yeah.
Would I have gone against Apple versus some other players? I don't know. I mean, the DOJ has been embroiled in stuff with antitrust stuff with Google too, I believe, and Meta too.
Yeah,
like they're going after everybody, yeah, which the EU is as well. And like that's because these companies are enormous and they touch huge aspects of everybody's lives, and the chances that they got there without doing some dirty shit along the way are low.
Yeah, I mean, and that was the thing in the bookcase. I mean, Apple is not a monopoly selling books, but the stuff that they
broke the law.
Yeah, was not okay.
Yeah, exactly,
and that's why they got targeted.
They might have been.
Amazon should get targeted for, you know, for several different things, but
legit monopoly in ebooks,
right.
Honestly,
legit. Yeah, exactly.
But
they don't.
If your defense for breaking the law is like, yeah, but we did it for the right reasons, like,
yeah,
it turns out. I can tell you from, you know, my childhood, yeah, when I told my dad I did something bad for the right reasons, I still got punished.
But what's that fair?
I ran a light once and there was a guy, it was like a two lane thing. And there was a guy who ran it like behind me, but I was on like the right side. And so the cops, you know, flashes his lights and I pull over, the other guy keeps going, yeah, and the cop stops. And I was like, that guy did it way worse than I did. And he was like, yeah, you did, but you also did it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a real prisoner's dilemma there.
Yeah.
Anyway, you want to shift gears to the other region? Talk about the EU.
Yeah,
sure.
Let's do it.
The EU is now investigating.
We're going to go all around the world today.
Yeah, the EU is now investigating Apple, in addition to Alphabet and Meta, for non-compliance with the DMA. A couple different areas of particular interest. One of them is the browser choice screen. One of them is the, I forgot what the other one is. And the third one, which is the big one, is the fee structure, which is, I think, the thing that is going to be the most contentious because it's about money.
What is it about the fee structure?
They made this whole system, and if the system is essentially these terms are attractive for absolutely nobody, then the EU is arguing that they did not comply with the law, essentially. It's like you could give them I only make one sandwich and it's this roast beef sandwich and you can buy that or you buy nothing. And they're like, well, okay, you know, some people are allergic to roast beef. You got to offer a second option. Okay. Roast beef sandwich or shit sandwich. There you go. Well, we've got two options. I complied with your rules.
The one thing that it seems like they agreed with though, is that they need to make it easier for people who do free apps.
Yeah, that we had that workshop
to not have to pay that fee for every single install.
But they haven't said how is the other thing, right?
Yeah,
they've tacitly said off, you know, in non-policy form, yes, we're still looking at that, but they haven't laid out an explanation of what that means, because they could come back and just, you know, they could institute other limits or say, you know, oh, okay, this is the cap for going viral if you're free is much higher or something like that, the number of downloads, right? Like, there's changes they could make or tweaks they could make. The question is whether they'll throw it out altogether. I don't think that's likely, but I think the issue they're running into now is with the EU saying essentially, like, you've put up a whole bunch of new roadblocks in the interest of A, protecting your business, but also B, making some, you know, tip of the hat to security. And those may not be reasonable, right? I think the browser choice thing, for example, I'd forgotten that the in order to be included in that browser screen, you have to have X number of downloads in the EU in the previous calendar year. And so if somebody, like, that's great, but it's also really hard then if you make a new browser to crack that, right?
Right.
And it takes a year.
I think it's not that much. I think it's like 5,000.
It's 5,000, which is not a ton, but it's not ridiculous. Like, I don't know.
I don't know. Can you pick that browser after the fact? I mean, that's just the initial screen, right?
Yes, presumably you can. I think it's just the prompting.
I would think so.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Think
and the question is just how is it, you know, advertised to you essentially?
I mean,
I don't know. The cutoff has to be
honestly.
Made somewhere,
I mean, as a consumer, I don't have a problem with. I am presented with like the top 3-4 choices on startup, and then if I want the weirdo browser that I like, I can go pick it afterwards. This sort of seems like the cookies thing where every website you go to.
Yes
and
no.
Throws up cookie options every single time.
I can put it this way.
I hate throwing up cookies.
I agree with you in the actual practicality sense of, because I think they're showing you the top 11, which is a ridiculous number.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but the counterpoint to the top three is the top three are going to be Safari, Chrome.
Even I don't have 11 browsers installed.
But the top three browsers are going to be Safari, Chrome, and Edge. And it's like, well, you didn't really solve anything there. you know, maybe Mozilla. But still, like, it's not, I don't know. I'm not sure there's a good, that is a UX versus policy issue. And I'm not sure there's a good answer on that one way or the other. I think picking like a fight on that one for the EU is perhaps a little silly. I think they have probably, there are bigger fish to fry.
Yeah.
It does feel like this scenario that we're in now is inevitable.
Yep.
or was inevitable. I guess now it definitely is. But it felt like the EU was building to this point. And it feels like to a degree, the US's hand was not forced, but that they felt added pressure to actually do something given the reality of the scenario, the situation in the EU. The dream scenario to me overall would be one, that they were focused on the things that were actually important and didn't get so hung up on the stuff that didn't matter. But two, that Apple could have one outcome that works to satisfy everybody, right? Like I am not a fan at all of any of the proposed solutions for the EU that Apple has to begin with. But the fact that they're also geolocated and specific to, or geofenced specifically to the EU, and then if you leave the EU, like that's all dumb. And it's much more interesting if it's worldwide. And not that the US and Europe make things worldwide, but that's a whole lot of world that once you're going to comply there,
a big chunk of their market too, right? Like that's. Yeah. And I think what's interesting to me, I had this thought earlier today because I think a good point was made. I think Jason said this on Upgrade. Apple's complying with the local laws as they do wherever they do business. And I do think it's fascinating because I find that there are some people who are like, been very critical of like having to comply with the EU laws, who are the same people that are like, when Apple does shit in China, they're like, well, they just have to, they have to do what they have
to
do.
Yeah, they have to do business.
Right? You got
to
do business. Mm-hmm. Like, guess what?
Yeah.
Same deal. And also EU, not as bad as China.
Right.
Says you.
I mean, I feel like as ham-fisted and oftentimes overbearing maybe as the EU is, they really feel like they are trying to make things better for the people who are living there.
I think it's necessary sometimes to have those like policy wonks basically be like, we are aggressively trying to make things quote unquote fair. Because again, our country shows zero appetite for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Not zero. The DOJ got involved. 5% appetite.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, I don't know.
But in weird ways, right?
I'm always leery of why the DOJ gets involved in some of these, but
yeah.
Sure.
I think it's because there is a certain degree of bipartisanship that is supported, like supports this action versus many, many other things that they could be working on.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, again, I think there's some stuff in that DOJ suit that are like really, I don't know, they kind of get to the point of things and like maybe point to larger business practices. But yeah, it is weird. They've really cherry picked some bizarre examples in times. Like, yeah. Super apps is such a weird thing to talk about because they don't exist in the US. And they're like, well, but they don't exist because Apple shut them down. It's like, maybe, but correlation does not prove causation.
Right.
So.
Do we really want a Facebook super
app? Or yeah, exactly.
is that gonna make anything better?
I don't think so.
I don't think there's any chance of Facebook ever making anything better ever for anyone ever.
Maybe.
But you know what does make things better, you guys?
What's that?
ZocDoc.
Oh.
Hey.
Are you the person in the family who has a reputation for treating yourself to nice things? Well, if you treat yourself to the top options with everything in life, why settle when you're finding a doctor? It is your health, after all. That's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is the place where you can find and book tens of thousands of top-tier doctors, all with verified patient reviews. So don't settle. Go for the best and find the right doctor for you. With ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. All these docs have verified reviews from actual, real patients. We're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. I have made emergency podiatrist appointments and emergency dermatology appointments, and in each case I saw great doctors, found some new doctors who became my go-to doctors, and got my problems treated. If you see doctors, you should use ZocDoc. You can avoid humans and get fast appointments with docs who take your insurance. Go to ZocDoc.com/rebound and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/rebound. ZocDoc.com/rebound. Our thanks to ZocDoc for sponsoring this very podcast.
You want to turn to happier news? Should we do some happier news?
Wait, is there happier
What's
news?
What's happier than ZocDoc? Come on.
Your statement assumes facts, not evidence.
Well, let me put it this way. Almost anything is happier than talking about legislation and regulation, right?
I don't know.
Almost anything.
There are certain individuals I don't want to talk about.
WWC 2024? That's happier.
Yeah.
Right? They announced the
dates. Are we surprised or is it expected that it's still mostly, almost exclusively virtual?
I am not surprised.
I'm not surprised.
I think this is the new normal. I think this is the way it looks.
Yeah.
So, special event with limited attendance and then everything else is online. I mean, the online stuff is so good that if you're really just like, hey, I just want to learn about all the technologies that Apple's rolling out this year, the videos are superior to going
to. It's the first year I was thinking, hey, I could go for a different reason from covering. I could go as an attendee. I was ready.
You should put your name in the hat there. We could hang out, Lex.
I might.
John could come down. We could record a live rebound on Apple Park. I've done it before.
You have not recorded a live rebound on Apple Park.
I've recorded a live podcast at Apple Park, but we could be a rebound if we were all there.
I don't know. Did you go back and scrub through the list? Maybe he did.
Good question. I might have. This comes on the heels of some rumor stuff about the platform updates this year. And I don't remember. Did we talk about the AI deals Apple was trying to make last week? I couldn't remember if that broke when we recorded or not.
We did talk about it a little bit.
Yeah. So obviously big generative AI push, it sounds like. And then Gurman had some stuff this week talking about like more flexible home screen, which I did not have on my bingo card for iOS
which
18.
People are really reporting and re-reporting breathlessly, and it doesn't sound like much of anything to me. It sounds like a pretty nothing feature. Not that I'm opposed to it, but like, okay, so you can like put spacers in between your icons if you want. Like this does not do it for me.
I mean, that's the question. Is it a Is it the typical Apple minimal thing, or is it more in depth and we just don't know? But like, I guess, I don't know. What else do you want to do on your home screen, I guess, is my question. Like, what, how are your home screens these days? Do you have widgets? Do you use widgets?
I have a couple display widgets. I don't really have any that I interact with.
I have the weather. I have the weather one, but that's it.
I was surprised to find a widget on my Mac was interactive. No, it was on my iPad, interactive, which was, I was using the Fantastica widget. And I was like, oh, you know, I'll just tap it to open it. And I tapped it and it like went to that day on my calendar. I was like, oh, I forgot that that's interactive now. But otherwise, I almost, never use interactive widgets.
I use more widgets on that pre-screen on the iPhone.
Yeah, for sure.
But I mean, so the ones on my phone, on my first home screen, I've got my next meeting or two, plus it's got a mini forecast. That's all in one Fantastica widget. And then the next one has the bigger forecast widget. But my the one interactive widget I use is on my third and final home screen. I have like I forget what they call it, but it's like the suggested apps, basically. It's like my eight, probably you want this app next or at this time apps. I find that useful sometimes. Like every morning I post to five social media services in a row, or four of them maybe. And it puts them all right there for me because it knows that's what I do in the morning.
Yeah. I've been meaning to talk to you about that.
I like that. Yeah, you should. But my most used weather widget is the one on my watch. Just like the Carrot weather widget that shows me the current temperature, the little dot, and then the range of temperature for the day. That's the one I need. And that's on my watch.
That's what I have to.
Hmm. Yeah. No,
I knew I liked you.
No, you didn't. You're still unsure.
I thought I liked you.
I was searching for a reason to like you. This might be it. Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
did AI suggest a reason for you to like Lex? Is that what happened?
We'll have to see it to enjoy it, I guess.
Wait a second. Is it a conversation on a podcast with a guy named Lex about AI and we actually mean me? Is that what's happening right now? This is very uncommon.
Well, I assumed you were going to become an expert now. I assume that's why you've been working on ChatGPT stuff all this time.
You guys, I got invited to speak at a conference. They sent me an invitation via FedEx. I was like, I'm just going to fucking do it. I'm going to go.
Was this the one you told us about before?
Possible. But yeah, because it was in Texas, I decided not to.
Yeah, you should tell us about this one. That is pretty great.
Well, I'm still not going.
Yeah. Could you hire someone to go in your place, but pretending to be the other guy?
What did you do? Did you like email them? Did you email them back or did you just burn it?
So far I put it in the recycle bin and that was it. I haven't done anything else.
Nice. Good. Don't do anything.
Yeah. We invited.
Don't go out of your way.
We invited Lex Friedman, but he didn't show up.
Yeah, really? Fuck that guy.
Can you trash that guy's reputation?
You don't need the help, but I'm happy to.
Well, every little bit helps, is my feeling. I've already forgotten what we were talking about.
Home screen changes.
We were talking about widgets. There's so many instances. I feel like widgets are just constantly a thing that are trying to happen and not stop happening enough.
Stop trying to make.
I do use those ones that we talked about, but I always see the them demonstrated and think, that's really cool. I often forget to implement them, and when I do implement them, they're not quite as cool as I always thought they would be.
Yeah, I use
the one thing I have the Wikipedia has a number of cool widgets, and one of them is just like, you know, what happened on this day, you know.
Oh, that's cool.
5, 10, 15, 20, 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago.
It's got to be more than 10, otherwise it can't be good.
I really like that. Like, particularly like when I wake up in the morning, like something to read that is not news. That is interesting.
I will say the one I get the most positive interactions out of is actually the photos widget. Like, I have that on a home screen.
I don't do those for some reason.
I like
reason.
It, though, because it just pops up a photo usually for like, oh, here's something, you know, you haven't seen in a while, or here's something you haven't thought about. It.
You know what? I'm afraid that that's going to make me sad.
We have very different...
Pasts.
Very different approaches to life, I guess.
I do have some of those.
Very different personal histories.
I do have some of those photo widgets, and I don't know. They are very hit and miss. What I really want, and maybe this exists, and if it does, one of my complaints is that I feel like Apple doesn't make the photo widget stuff, or really any of the widgets, easy enough. Like they make me feel too nerdy when I'm using them to customize them. But like, I just want to I want a built-in time hop widget from Apple. You know, like, here's what happened for you on this day in previous years. That's all I want out of a photo widget. It doesn't seem like it's built out of the box.
You know, it's cool. One of the things that would be kind of cool in iOS 18 is if, like, they've talked about, you know, AI making shortcuts for you, but I would love to see, like, a implementation of, like, a widget that's a little more, like, something you could make as an end user rather than requiring, like, I don't want to make an app that has a widget in it, but like, what if I could use a shortcut to create a widget that was like the one I want? Like Lex said, like, oh, show me photos from, you know, the last year or something. And it just popped it there on your home screen. Like, that'd be cool. I'd like to see something like that. I will say on the AI front, I was thinking about AI today because I used ChatGPT for something that ended up being very useful. Like, I had this moment. My mom had asked me for a list of email, like, oh, could you have a like a compiled email list of all the family? And I was like, I don't remember where my most current thread is, but we did a Secret Santa exchange that everybody was in on this past year. And I was like, well, I'll go to the site that I use and just see if I can export the emails from that. Spoiler, no, of course you can't just export the emails. But I could get onto a page where it had like a bunch of information about everybody in the group, including the emails. But it was like, my only way to do this is just copy it and like grab all the emails. And so I was on, even on my iPad, I just copied like the entire page and pasted it in the ChatGPT. And was like, just give me the emails from all those. And it worked perfectly. Like, because I was like, oh, I could generate a regex to like go through and find it. I was like, I wonder if the AI could just do this. So I was like, okay. Now, like, those are the kind of tasks that honestly AI is killer for. It's like, that's a thing that would have taken me, I don't know, not forever, but like 10 minutes of stupid drudge work as opposed to 20 seconds of here you go. That's pretty great. So I want more features like that in iOS 18. It's like stuff where I can tell it to do something that's like, okay, this is just going to be a pain to do. But if you could just do it for me, like that would make my life easier. And that is what I want from my technology.
Am I right?
You are.
I am right. I'm confident. I'll say it.
Oh, is Dan right? Sorry. Yeah.
Is Dan right? Hashtag? Is Dan right? I don't know.
You guys have so many questions, but you're not alone.
Oh, okay.
But wait. I gotta tell you one more thing before
you're the boss
we start
of the
questions.
Show. You're fine.
And it's not an ad read.
Steve Jobs style.
I recently have become like the number one user of Freeform.
I saw this on the Rebound member Discord.
Yeah.
Is this a cry for help?
And it's I could be. I don't know. This came about because we have a number of house projects that we're working on. Always been working on. And we don't have, I tried a reminders list for as a way to organize them. And then we organize them by like who would do the job, like, you know, the ones that are done by an electrician or the ones that are done by a landscaper, those kinds of things. And that didn't end up working out very well for like prioritizing them because there's so many of them that we can't afford to do all of them at once. And so I wanted a way to like something that was easy to understand that was like, here are the things that we've got and like, let's move them or be able to move them around. So Karen and I could share that we would move them around and decide on like which ones we're going to do. And I literally thought of like, you know, why don't I just do a, is it too stupid to do post-it notes on like the wall or something like that? And then I thought, wait, post-it notes, isn't that a thing that you can do in Freeform? And as it turns out, you can do that in Freeform. So I made a house projects thing that is a whole bunch of like post-it notes with like the projects and like a guess about the price. And then we move them around and put the ones that we want to do sooner up on top and the ones that we were going to do later on the bottom. And one of the ones that we wanted to do was get some new living room furniture. And I was like, well, I used to have OmniGraffle that I would have that had a stencil that had furniture and stuff. And I don't use OmniGraffle enough anymore that I, you know, now that I'm not working in a, you know, for a company, I used to use it there all the time, but I don't need to produce flowcharts anymore. So I was like, I don't know if I want to spend for OmniGraffle. So I tried to do it in, this was quite a bit harder, I would say, because I sort of had to draw the furniture myself. I had to make my own little chairs and couches and things like that. But it worked and I got it there. And now we have like, you know, I've made these little icons, and we can move them around and stuff like that and figure out where we want to put the stuff in the living room and where we need new stuff and whatever. So I only have three, and the other one is like reorganized in the basement, but I've found a use for it. For me, the killer app part of it is just being able to share it easily with Karen, and so that we can both work on the same stuff. So I'm the guy. If you were wondering who was using Freeform, it's me.
I've played around
this very podcast.
I have used it a couple times. I think my biggest disappointment with it has been the collaborative stuff isn't quite where I'd like it to be. Like, it's gotten better, but it's still not as quite as, like, I really wanted something that was more real-time collaboration, and for whatever reason, it did not quite manage to pull that off. I think all their collaborative stuff has still kind of suffered. It's not like Google Docs level. Like, Google Docs is kind of the gold standard still, for all its problems, and it has many.
All real time, whereas this is more latency.
Yeah, exactly. And that bums me out, because I have use cases for it where it was like, I want to collaborate with people on something and have that, but it's just not quite there. And there were like issues with embedding certain types of things, and like it keeps getting better, and I hope they keep continuing to improve it. But yeah.
I've had some It's the thing that was just good enough for my needs. You know, it basically met the basic requirements.
For your needs. And I was like, how on earth? Oh,
I was going to say that.
That's
so
the other thing.
They should have made that.
I'm designing new knees for myself.
they should have made that for the tagline. Like, it's just good enough for your needs.
You know, this is not a criticism of a challenge to Molten in any way, but sometimes you guys talk about apps, I'm like, man, I want to use that. I want to do this more. And even the thing, I'm like, nope, I just, this does not fit into my lifestyle, and that's okay. But like, this one just, I don't know. It does not tempt me. I would like to like it, but it's not for me. I can't get into it.
Want it to want you? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Need it to need you.
But we're spelling knee with a silent K in front.
Yes. Obviously. It's bread related.
You guys, although we have advertisers like ZocDoc, do you remember all those things I said about ZocDoc earlier? I thought it was powerful. Man,
I think you made the case just really solid.
Yeah. But we also are brought to you by Rebound Prime. Prime.reboundcast.com is where you get to sign up. You get perks like bonus episodes, bootlegs, listen live while we record, join the member Discord, and you get to submit questions that we answer right here on the podcast. Some of which are from last week because I didn't delete them. So I'm scrolling my eyeballs. JBD, you three, nope. What interesting thing, did we answer Kelly F's question last week about corporate positions and making the move to a more personal employee? Did we talk about that one?
No.
Okay. Listener Kelly F says, you three all had been in corporate positions and have made the move to a more personal employee, some longer than others. So I ask, how did you know the time was right? Just getting some ideas, giving some upcoming milestones.
Oh, I tell you, I got an answer for you on this one. It's when they told me, clean out your desk.
You didn't have a desk there.
I was working at a desk while
I was
there.
They made you clean out your desk at home? That's just cruel.
They made me clean out somebody else's desk that I was borrowing. Mm. It was really awkward.
Man, if I ever have to clean up my desk at home, it's going to be a problem.
That sounds like Karen giving you
it's
work.
It's like my whole lot. It's like exploded all over my office. I mean,
I am not into hagiography in general. I'm especially not into Steve Jobs hagiography, but I will say that Steve Jobs graduation speech is in my head all the time. And it was really his thing where he talks about if you aren't looking forward to your day, to what you have going, I'm paraphrasing poorly, but if you're not looking forward to what you have to do that day, too many days in a row, that's when you have to change something. And I felt small and miserable every day at Amazon. And so those two things didn't go well. If I only felt small, not miserable.
But that's a good way of phrasing it. That's the way I felt it at my job.
Yeah. And the most remarkable thing to me about leaving Amazon is that I'm now a games magnate. No, the most remarkable thing to me about leaving Amazon.
Sad when Amazon buys your games company.
No chance. For two reasons. But people who didn't know that I had changed jobs or that I just simply left my job, who saw me, were like, wow, you look great. Like, you look much better. And like, I didn't realize that I was carrying some of my weight physically, but like, that job was bad for my mental health. And I stayed too long. And it's very rare to find people who leave jobs, but willingly, who are like, man, I wish I had waited longer to do it. It's very rare. Like, people almost always like, God, I should have done it sooner.
You've really inspired me. I've got an announcement to make. I'm out of here, sucker.
I thought he was going to make that at the beginning of this.
I know. That was the double bluff for you.
The one of the ways I knew was that they made us move up to Seattle. They made us commute up to Seattle, rather. I did not move up to Seattle because I didn't want to, because I couldn't afford to. But it was, what finally happened? My wife got another job is what happened. That's how I knew I could leave. She wanted me to quit. She was begging me for years to quit. Like, go do this other stuff. And I was like, that doesn't make as much money.
John, come home and clean out your desk.
Yeah, right. Said it'd be a lot easier. I said it'd be a lot easier for me to quit if you were working too. And she was like, "Oh shit." But
gotcha.
But then she got a job that she loves, so that worked out really well. And now we're doing. Yeah,
I will say
we're not making nearly as much money as I made before, but we're happier for sure.
Yeah, I will say, obviously I was laid off, but the reason I didn't go look for a new job. was because
it's literally in the name of the podcast.
Yeah, it really was.
But the reason you didn't go look for another job was
I worked part time for a publication for a little while as a freelancer part time, but like on like an hourly basis. Like they gave me like, okay, you work these days from these hours, you'll be like on duty and you'll be writing news and stuff like that. And I hated it. I hated it so much. And it was like, a decent organization, but like, I wasn't getting paid super well, and I just was not as interested in the stuff that they wanted me to write about. And so I, really, I think also feeling so burned after getting laid off from a place that I genuinely loved working, and had been one of my dream jobs as a teenager and like 20 something, and it was that moment of realizing like I'd committed all this loyalty to a corporation that does not give a shit about me and was like, mm-hmm. I just don't want to ever do that again. Like, I never want to be put in that position. And I don't think there's any place else I could go to work that I would feel more optimistic or like more smitten with, for lack of a better term. Like, I'm not going to feel as positively about any other corporation I could work for. Well, maybe the exception of like Lucasfilm or something. Even there, I'm sure the reality doesn't match up to like the dreams of it, right? But like,
it never does.
Yeah, it never does. But, I think that was the reason I decided like, I'm not going to do that. So I said I need to cobble together a weird job working like 3 different part time jobs.
Yeah.
I love my boss. Listener Mahir asks,
what you do at home on your own is none of our business.
what interesting
company
thing,
time?
What on company everything. What interesting
that's what makes it so hot.
What interesting thing did you I broke Dan, you guys. It took all these episodes.
Oh, no, it was a combination. You both of you together. It was a 1-2 punch. Yeah. It was really well done.
What interesting thing did you spot or hear in the video where Brian Tong imitated Jason and Dan to interview people at Apple Park in an Apple car? I didn't hear anything interesting in that video, and I could not get all the way through. And I like and respect Brian Tong and have worked with him.
I watched the whole thing, but it is, speaking of hagiographies, it's a little bit of an ad. He does, he tries to ask some questions about directions as they're going in, and that's some of that was interesting. Mostly I spent the whole time trying to see if there was anybody that I could identify walking by. At one point I thought I saw Chris Breen, but it was not Chris Breen.
Did
you ask Chris Breen?
I did not.
I could tell it was not. I didn't bother.
I didn't watch it. I saw the link, but
I watched the whole thing. I think the interesting part for me was hearing Jaws talk about the introduction of the iPhone, which I think a number of other people have said.
I said I have a
it's them waxing poetic.
Exactly.
About how
I have a low tolerance.
Their
I have a low
products.
Tolerance for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I've realized that before. Like when I want to go look at things like outside of like a product announcement. Like I genuinely care about the product announcements because I want to know about the products. But like, I don't care as much about them getting, nostalgic or talking about the overall philosophy. Cause like on the one, like best case scenario, like, yes, they're very enthusiastic about it, but I understand that. Worst case scenario, it's just like propaganda basically. And I like,
what every interviewer wants is like a response that's not the scripted response.
Yeah.
It's not the response and you're not allowed to get it there.
Yeah. Exactly. Like
the better video is the guy who 3D prints a Mac.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I just want to say like about those, the only ones I often am interested in like watching or listening to are Gruber's talk show, WDC talk show ones where he interviews people. Because, like, yes, I agree with Lex. He's still not going to go, like, super hard-hitting, but I think his questions are generally interesting. And every once in a while, he does manage to provoke something that's, like, makes them think and, like, they don't necessarily have a ready answer for. But I just generally, otherwise, I am underwhelmed.
I mostly watch those to see if they mention me.
Do they?
They have. They have a couple of times, yeah.
Listener Chris asks, what are the EU/DOJ going to be suing the Rebound for when they've sorted big tech?
What is the opposite?
Not enough episodes.
Yeah, what is the opposite of a monopoly?
Yeah, really. Yeah.
That is what we have, whatever that is. Not a monopsony, which is an actual thing, but, like, you know, they really have too small. You guys should have a bigger share of the market is what they're going to sue us for, which is...
I don't think they would sue us if we played Monopoly.
Have you seen the way we play Monopoly? Have you seen... Actually,
somebody should sue everybody for playing Monopoly.
My wife loves Monopoly. She loves the board game, and I don't...
Hank loves it, too. Hank has always loved it, still loves it, wants to play it all the time, and I used to like it, and now it drives me absolutely bananas.
She talks very fondly about she had this book when she was growing up of, like, Monopoly strategies, and recently we were up at our parents', and she, like, they gave her a box, and it was in the box, and she was like, oh my god, I love this book, I'm totally going to teach our kid to play Monopoly. I was like, all right, you're going to do that. That goes hand in hand with a story where we were at a museum 6 months ago or so, and with one of her childhood friends, and, like, she'd gone off somewhere, and, like, I'm standing with her friend, and, like, near the gift shop, and they had these really nice versions of, like, Scrabble and Monopoly, and, like, I was like, oh, did you ever play Monopoly with Kat? And she's like, once.
It's like, wow. Mr. E-Man, and by the way, another listener had asked me recently if Mr. E-Man was a real person, or if that was the catch-all when somebody submitted questions anonymously. I'm like, no, that's his name, Mr. E-Man. It was only then that I understood that it sounds like Mr. E-Man. I never got it until this question came in via text message. But Mr. E-Man, a real person, asks, do you follow the March Madness basketball games? Real questions. Who will create the perfect bracket first? Millions of monkeys picking random letters or AI?
I think AI probably has a better chance than the monkeys, but...
Hey, I could more probably easily generate every possible grid, right?
Yeah, that's true. One of them's like chaos, and one of them's like directed chaos.
Yeah, I don't follow.
I don't follow either.
I don't either. Yeah.
The thing I find interesting brackets is when there's drama. The drama that I found interesting this year was that one of the women's games at halftime replaced a referee because it turned out that one of the referees went to one of the schools involved in the game.
Wow.
That's funny.
That just came up. Oops.
Listener Yitzner asks, what's your target goal for the Rebound in terms of humor versus information broken down by percentage? I'm not confident the show has either.
I feel very, very targeted by this question. Triggered by this question, I guess. I don't know.
We can have a target. We're not saying we hit it.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is a...
I would like to think like 70-30.
Which direction?
Information to humor, but...
Oh,
it's probably the other way. It might be.
Honestly, my goal is that it's a good show. I don't care if the mix is the same each time or not. It's just got to be what people want to hear.
I don't need this. What are you riding on a golf cart giving an interview, Lex? I don't need this.
Then ZM Knox.
Hey, it's Chris Breen.
ZM Knox, have you ever attended WWDC in person? When was the last time you went? I went to two in person, I guess, when I worked for Macworld. So 1,000 years ago.
I think.
I've not been to the, you know, the actual event. I've been in San Francisco when it happened twice, once or twice. Definitely once, maybe twice.
Yeah, my answer is once, maybe twice.
I'm looking back. I think all of them since 2000, everyone held in person since 2007. Like at least 2000. If I search for WWDC in my library, it goes back to 2011, but I'm pretty sure I was there I started working full time for Macworld in June 2007. I don't remember if I went to WWC that year, but if I did, then I think I went literally every year from that point on.
Wow.
Yeah, I and did. Then, I did go. I found a, I found screenshots of Steve Jobs on stage, June 2007, showing off iPhone videos.
Well, if it's screenshots, then maybe you
not screenshots.
There.
Can't photo, photo shots. But... it's the technical term.
Then finally, listener Holger asks, "What is VVVDC24?" And I was like, "What is he talking about?" And then I clicked the link, and boy, that is what the logo yeah. looks like. VVV.
It really is. I think that's really weird too that they chose to do it like that. It look, and I've been joking that it looks very much like the Wonder Woman 84.
It does. It also poster. Looks a little bit like, you know, if you look at it the right way, it's like a hand doing the rock and roll devil horns thing.
Mm. Oh, so it's a Craig thing.
It's always a Craig thing these days.
Yeah.
I like the neon.
That explains it.
The neon's cool. Well, I'm planning on going. I haven't got an invite or anything, but I'm already booked a hotel.
Same. Except
great.
For the hotel part.
Great.
I haven't got an invite.
I'm very excited. We can hang out, Lex. It'll be great.